Hi everyone, this is Denny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this next song.
Jesus, this song is forever yours. Looking up to me, that's why I'm looking up to you. You
Lord, keep looking up to you. I'm always looking up to you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Looking Up show here on Faith FM on this beautiful afternoon here in Lake Macquarie, just about 21, 22 degrees, just heavenly weather we've been blessed to have. And my name is Danny. And today I am joined by my good friend Scaffy, the legendary Scaffy from the Morning Breakfast Show. Who would have thought we would be graced with his presence?
Hello, Danny.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I was thinking, am I ever going to be able to be on the same room with Danny in the afternoon program.
In the afternoon.
We've done a couple of shows together in the morning.
We have.
So it is my privilege now to...
Oh, no, the privilege is all mine.
You get to be the co-host this time.
I know.
Yeah.
Here's
how
the co-host.
Exciting.
The co-host.
I'm ready for the ride. We're going to be talking about some really interesting stuff.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I'm going to share with you what's happening inside the closed doors of the Pentagon.
He's got some inside info, folk, that you have to hear.
That's
right. We're going to give you the good oil, the inside oil. No conspiracies here.
No.
Just the straight T-R-U-T-H truth. Did I spell that right?
That's right.
I hope I did. All right. So we've got Scaffy, and he's here today because our good friend Sharissa, my usual co-host, she's holidaying up north, catching up with family.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
hope she's getting some good weather up north.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be getting lovely weather up north. I think they've gone up to Brisbane to catch up with family. So, yeah, if you're listening, trying to see how Danny's coping here, we wish you all the best, and we're going to have a great time with Scaffy. And in the producer's chair is our good friend, Shell. Welcome along, Shell.
It is really good to be back
with
you guys here at the Looking Up Show.
And so, both of us, we came here, we almost fell backwards because we thought, who's this new person? And it was producer Shell, just with a new hairstyle,
bit
of a Chanel cut, you know, very classy. So it took a while for our brains to compute
to adjust.
She's normally not classy at all.
She's very classy, just classy in a different way. Like, there's different ways of classy.
Her classiness has gone to a new level, a brand new level. So it's great to have Shell, and she does have a fancy-dancy hairdo.
Yeah, the downside of breakfast radio is, can't be bothered doing my hair. It's just just wash and go.
Well, it's true. I mean, you guys start at 6 a.m. Monday
to Friday.
But
we're here way before that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what time do you get out of bed?
Look, my first alarm gets out at around 3:30 in the morning.
3:30, yep.
Yeah, but I leave my bed by around 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then you're into your routine.
Yeah, into my routine. I already start by, you know, reading my Bible and asking God, God, can you please help me to get to know what is it that you want me to talk this week?
Yeah.
Or today, you know, from the Bible, from the world of news around.
Mm-hmm.
So I start my research, so to speak, from 4:30 all the way until the show starts. I'm looking and seeing what's happening in the world, in the Bible, and trying to bring those things together.
Mm. Yes, indeed. And what about you, Shell? When do you get that first alarm happening?
My first alarm is at 4:05. I give myself that extra little 5 minutes. I have it to the minute. And sometimes I get up way earlier than that. Like this morning, I get up at 3. But yeah, my alarm doesn't go off until 4.
So is it safe to assume you guys are not night owls? You guys like to get to bed.
In bed by 9.
I mean, I'm a night owl by heart, but not by practice anymore. No.
Yeah.
No. Well, that's good. What? What do they say? Isn't there a saying? Early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and
wise.
Yay.
Yeah.
So there you go, folks. That's a good little tip. We also have today couple of shout-outs. My good mate Ben, your good friend Ben. I played tennis with him.
Oh, hey, Ben.
Yeah, so he said he'll be listening in. So
yeah, I actually need to catch up with Ben because I just recently ran a half marathon.
Oh.
And Ben is my mate because he's also into the world of triathlon and running and cycling. And Ben said that he's going to help me run better.
Yes, so you can be like that Sawe guy from Kenya who broke the two-hour barrier.
That's unbelievable.
For a marathon.
That's
unbelievable. I know. Just Ben and I were having a hit yesterday afternoon, and he was telling me how, you know, just
this is insane.
Incredible.
Can you imagine? This is 21 kilometers per hour on average.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Go to the treadmill in your gym, set it to 21 kilometers an hour and see how much you can last. I don't think I can last 100 meters.
I know. It's just crazy.
I don't even know that my legs are even capable of running there.
Well, my legs.
Sustaining that for 42 kilometers.
Well,
wow,
you know,
that's no joke.
Our friend Ben, he could sustain that kind of pace for a while because on the tennis court, he makes me run here, there, and everywhere. And he's not very respectful because I'm a few years older than
Ben. Right. You're an elder.
I'm an elder.
You should throw the elder card on him.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's got no respect for his elders, you know, and he just runs me ragged from side to side. But I love it. I love it.
Good workout.
It's a good workout, Salam. Yeah, big shout out to you, Ben. Also, big shout out to, who else have I got here? Davo. Our mate Davo from WA.
Davo from Bauga, WA.
Yeah,
my mate Davo, yeah. Great to hear you.
Congratulations. He's racked up his 10th grandchild. So that is really, really exciting.
And I'll tell you something about Davo. He wakes up earlier than I do.
Wow.
Because the breakfast show starts at 3:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. in Western Australia, and he catches us up right at the start. So
wow.
He must be waking up before that.
He's amazing. So, Davo,
legend.
Big congratulations on your granddaughter, Emily Violet Sutherland. So we wish you all the best. And now we've got a song to kick us off. What have you chosen, Shell?
This is Randy Stonehill and Sarah Groves with Take Me Back.
I wandered away like a blind, foolish child, chased every bright falling star, deaf to your words, I was willful and wild. Every rocky road just left me scarred. Now I know the treasure that you are. Take me back. Take me back. Such a long way just to ask. Take me back. Take me back. And from this day I will stay. Take me back. Yeah.
Undone.
take me back, I've come such a long way just to ask, take me back. I will stay, take me back, and from this day, home to stay, take me
back. That was Randy Stonehill and Sarah Groves with Take Me Back. This is a duet with Sarah Groves. You're listening to the Looking Up Show here on Faith FM with Danny Milenkov and myself, Scaffy. And what are we going to give away today, Danny?
Well, today we are giving away our book. This looks like a great book that Shell has chosen, Finding Joy in the Judgment. So the title is Fire from Heaven. And the subtitle, Finding Joy in the Judgment by Tim Rumsey. And so this is a book that helps people understand how they can have confidence in the judgment, because the judgment can be a very fearful thing for many people. But this book will help you to understand, you know, how God responds to sin through the judgment, and also how his judgment is not something to be feared for the follower of Jesus, but something to be looked forward to.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're going to be giving this book away. How many books do we have of this one? Is it?
There's plenty.
Plenty. Okay, so there's plenty to go around. And we're going to give away the code word probably in our next segment. But when we do, if you could be ready to text in the code word to our usual looking up number, 0488 17624. That's 0488 17624. You should lock that into your phone. We will give the code word in our next segment, and you'll text that through and we'll get that book to you, Fire from Heaven. You will love it, all about the judgment. Now, I do need to give a couple of quick plugs. I'm running a couple of programs. I'm doing one in Windsor in Sydney on May 17. So it's a dinner and a World on the Brink program, two presentations, Finding Peace in Uncertain Times. So that's going to be in Windsor, Sunday, May 17. So not very long now, Sunday week. And then...
In the Windsor Castle?
No Windsor Castle there, I don't think, at the Windsor Seventh-day Adventist Church.
No, so, but it is a really cool church.
It's a really beautiful building.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Okay, so there you go. I haven't been there yet, but I'm looking forward to going.
Well, maybe this is a Sunday night for you dinner to present that in the Windsor Castle, in the residence of the Royals. I think they'll be very, very keen to listen to what you have to say.
Do you have any connections with King Charles? If you do,
I'll pray for one. God can do anything.
He can do anything. That's true. I believe in that. And I've got another program a couple of weeks later. In Memorial, which is here in Currumbong, Avondale Memorial Church. So it's a four-part presentation this time, A World on the Brink. So I'm doing the entire four-part series starting on Friday night, May 29 at 6 p.m. with a dinner and the first message. So A World on the Brink, we're going to be looking at current events in light of Bible prophecy. And that's what this show is all about. And there's tons going on, Scaffy, wouldn't you say?
Too much.
There is so much. You can't keep up.
No.
We just cannot keep up. So all the details are on the Faith FM website. Go to the events page and there you can register for either the Windsor program, if you're anywhere near Windsor there in Sydney, or this one here in Currumbong at the Avondale Memorial Church. So, yeah, I'd love to see you, especially if you're a Looking Up listener or a Faith FM listener. We've got heaps of Faith FM listeners here in Currumbong, heaps of them, and the surrounding area. So it'd be lovely to catch up with you. All right, so we have got all that done. Now it's time for us to take a look at what's making news. Before we take a look at what you're going to be talking to us about, so just give us a brief plug. What are you going to be talking to us about?
So we are going to be talking about the most powerful company in the Pentagon today, mm-hmm. called Palantir Technologies, founded by a guy named Peter Thiel. And what is their vision for the future of the United States and the world?
Wow.
And you see that that future that they wrote in a book, they tweeted about it, they have this grand vision of the future, it eerily aligns with Revelation chapter 13 in the Bible.
Wow. Well, Revelation 13 is our focus pretty much every week, because that's where the end time scenario is happening in a way. And we're seeing that. We're seeing Revelation 13 being fulfilled before our very eyes.
And we see that it's coming from the most powerful company at the moment.
Wow.
In the technological, military, industrial complex in the United States. It says a lot. So we're going to be exploring that, and I'm going to be sharing a little bit about the story. Who's Peter Thiel? What does he has to do with, what is his connection with spiritualism?
Wow.
What is his connection with 9/11 and so on? So stay tuned. We're going to look at some really interesting stuff here today.
So, folks, we have never been down this rabbit hole, but we are going there today.
No, and today's going to be a good rabbit hole.
It's going to be huge. So, yeah, Scaffy sent me this text message saying, do you know much about the technological republic? And I'm like, what on earth? And so I'm like, I don't know too much about it, but you obviously do.
That's right.
So
we're going to be looking at every one of the 22 points for the future that they laid out in that book. They wrote a book about it. It's a manifesto about what the United States, how the United States should organize itself from now onwards. And we're going to be looking at each one of them. And what you and I are going to see is that sometimes there are things that when at surface level, they look like it's a lamb speaking. When you go one step deeper, you can see the voice of the dragon.
Oh, wow. You have really whet our appetite. So it's not a coincidence that these tech giants were in the front row of Donald Trump's inauguration last year. So anyway, I'm so excited. Are you excited, Chell? That's going to be fascinating.
Very excited.
Very exciting. All right. So before we get to that, let's dive into what's been happening around the world from a prophetic point of view. So starting off here in Australia, there's quite a bit going on here when it comes to religious liberty issues, as well as this secular left agenda continuing to reign here in our part of the world. For example, the all-gender toilets in Australia. Have you heard anything about the all-gender toilets?
Yeah, I've seen some of these around.
Yeah, so.
But I thought that they're giving up on that idea already.
No, they haven't given up on that idea. I shared on this in a sermon just, at my church there at RTM on Saturday, and I shared how these toilets are being proposed by the National Construction Code. So they have suggested that all new public buildings, including shopping centers, stadiums, and office blocks, would have at least half of their toilets as all gender. So both males and females can use the same toilet.
At the same time?
At the same time. So you think of young girls potentially in these toilets, teenage girls, junior girls, 5-6-year-old girls in these toilets on their own, potentially bumping into, you know,
big hairy males that
they don't even need to be big and hairy, but just bumping into some adult males.
Yeah,
and
I see there's a lot of problems there already.
Yeah. So, ACL, you know, the Australian Christian Lobby, they've put out these big banners and these big signboards on trucks. You know how you see those big signboards on the side of trucks and buses? And here is one. Hey, girls, want to share public bathrooms with guys? No thanks.
Hmm.
So telling us where things are. So sadly, New South Wales, the government in New South Wales, it's up to the government of each state to decide whether they get on board with this proposal by the National Construction Code, this draft proposal that they have put forward in connection with their new guidelines for next year. New South Wales have confirmed that they will adopt the code next year. But there is a state that has said, no, we're not going down this road, and that is Tasmania. It's the only state so far to reject this policy.
Yeah, there's a massive security level. For those who are parents of children, and you know that so many cases of child abuse actually happen in bathrooms, in particular in public bathrooms. Mm-hmm. When I'm taking my kids to the bathroom, guess what? I'm with them all the time. And because I don't trust letting my kids be in a public bathroom with a person that I do not know, let alone a person from the opposite sex. I think this is asking for trouble. You know what, Danny? It reminds me of there's a Bible verse that I think that our governments, you know, and our the leaders of states in particular, of all the other states except for Tasmania, I think that the Tassies already know this very well. But there's a Bible verse in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. It says this: "Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." In other words, say, hey, if there's something that has been going on for thousands of years, which is the case of gender exclusive bathrooms, because there's a reason. Someone placed it out there. So before we chuck it out through the window, we should ask ourselves, why were we doing this in the first place? And we'll find out that it was for security reasons.
Absolutely. And speaking of something that's been happening for thousands of years, humanity has understood that there are two genders, you know, male and female. We know that that's not the case today. And so there's a whole page advertisement that, a group by the name of Binary, you probably heard of Binary, have put out, and this is the whole newspaper ad: male and female, make it law. Can you believe we've come to a point in time where we need to make it law that there is male and female?
Well, the other day, the Supreme Court of the UK deliberated. They spent millions and millions of dollars in judges' hours and so on, and they liberated this thing. It was a massive breakthrough for the UK law, which is a man is a male and a woman is a female.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so we forgot about that. I think it was something very difficult. And look, let me just tell about common sense. Look, I understand that there are people that have gender dysphoria. They do not see themselves as belonging to the sexuality that were born with, and so on. And I understand that there's psychological elements related to that, and so on. But hey, instead of pushing and forcing those bathrooms on everybody else, why don't you have something like a unisex bathroom, which is like a one bathroom from one person, anybody can go there.
But we do have solved. That.
We do have that already.
Have that
why
already.
Do we have to go to the next level and say, hey, let's make massive big public bathrooms where everybody's welcome?
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. So I think that when something is going beyond common sense, I'm always suspicious. Is there a spiritual issue going on here?
Yeah, so that's the times we're living in. And so, yeah, we're living in that time. So also, while we're enjoying here the good weather in our part of the world, unfortunately, out at Western New South Wales, you may or may not be familiar with Scaffy, there's a big drought going on. So, yeah, the weather's been fine on along the coast, but, yeah, unfortunately, there hasn't been any rain. So this tells us once again.
It's a tough life, man. Yeah, if you live there, it's tough weather.
It's tough out west at the best of times. So let's keep our farmers, especially out west, in our prayers. Now, when it comes to what's happening in the rest of the world, there's obviously this war going on between Iran, Israel, and America, American Israel together versus Iran. And it's in a stalemate. But it's interesting that, after 67 days today since the war has been taking
already
place.
Already 67 days.
Yeah. So a lot of people are pretty fatigued and, but it just tells us how this world is so insecure and how things are just so up and down. Like yesterday, for example, Donald Trump said that we are opening up the strait. We're going to escort some 2,000 ships, 23,000 sailors that have been stuck on these boats for over 2 months. We're gonna safely get them through the strait and so they can be on their way. Go and be with their families. That was yesterday, Operation Freedom. Today, he's put a pause on Operation Freedom 24 hours later because of, of some of the things that have happened, boats being fired upon and so on and so forth. And so there's all this uncertainty in the world. And so people don't know, what am I to trust? What happens next? And so that is where God's word gives us clear indications and understanding of where we are, where things are going, and how we can ultimately have certainty and how we can have hope and how we can find peace. Yeah. So
I'm so glad that the Bible is there to give us all these things.
Absolutely. So We've got a song now, my friend, and yeah, we're going to listen.
Oh, fount of love, divine that flows from my Savior's bleeding side, where sinners trade their filthy rags for His righteousness applied. Mercy cleansing every stain, now rushing o'er us like a flood. There the rich and vilest ones stand adopted through His blood. Through His blood. O Mount of Grace, to Thee we cling, from the free once and for all on Calvary's hill, love and justice shall agree. Praise the Lord, the price is paid, a curse defeated by the Lamb. We who once were slaves by birth, sons and daughters, now we stand. Oh, we stand. In Christ we stand. Oh, oh. Oh, well of joy is mine to drink, for my Lord hath conquered death. Victorious forevermore, the ancient foe is laid to rest. Hallelujah, Christ is King, alive and reigning on the throne. Our tongues employed with hymns of praise, glory be to God alone.
Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have a Bible question you've never quite had answered? I'm Lyle, and every Thursday at 5 p.m. I unpack the deep, meaningful, and sometimes tricky questions people send in. Whether you're searching for clarity, exploring a new topic, or just love learning alongside others, Question of the Day is for you. Send your questions anytime to 0488 808 56, and join me each Thursday at 5 p.m. as we dig into the Bible with the promise that no question goes unanswered.
Looking up to you.
You're listening to The Looking Up Show here on Faith FM with Danny and myself, Scaffy. Today I'm covering for Charissa, and we are going to talk about Palantir Technologies, the end of times, this, you know, the technological republic, and what is the plan of the tech magnates, billionaires in the United States? What do they want to do? What do they want to achieve? And how is that going to affect you and me, particularly if you and me, by you and me, you understand people that want to follow Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, man. Wow. That's going to be a fascinating discussion, folks. So stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up very, very shortly. But right now, we want to give the code word for our giveaway book today, Fire from Heaven. And that number again, before I give the code word, is 0488817624. So are we ready for the code word, Shell?
Indeed we are.
Okay.
It is LU26 as per normal, and then we have the word judgment. So all one word, LU26 judgment, and you will get that book sent to you by our bots who will ask you a question or two and get your information so that it can get posted to you, sent to you, and yeah, let us know. LU26 judgment, and the number is 0488817624.
Okay. Are you sure you can find joy in the judgment?
I was going to say, are you sure that this is the code word for the book and not the computer password? LU26 judgment. By the way, what is LU26 standing for?
Looking up and the year 26, 2026.
Easy to remember. LU26 judgment. So that you can get a copy of the book Fire from Heaven. If you aren't sure about the Bible teachings of the judgment, if the judgment, the word judgment gives you the creeps, it's because you probably did not understand it right. Nobody explained to you. And this book is going to help you see how the judgment is actually one of the most beautiful messages of love that God has for humanity.
Amen. And this subject is just all the way through scripture.
Fascinating.
From Genesis to Revelation, it's one of the most talked about subjects in scripture. So there's so much scripture on it. So there, folk, feel free to text away that code word. Now, we want to just tie in a couple of things. We've talked about this war in Iran. We talked about last week on our show, this Pope versus the president, a spat that they were having. And so we talked about that last week. And it's interesting that just this week, Donald Trump accused once again of the Pope of, promoting Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And it's interesting what the Pope said. You know, he said, there's no way I'm interested in promoting any nation to have a nuclear weapon. And this was the headline. So this was from just today, the headline from BBC News. Mission is to preach peace, says Pope in response to Trump attacks. Now, why I raise that is because the Bible says, and we're going to look at Revelation 13, that the world at the end of time will look to the Roman papacy to lead the world in this pursuit of peace and safety. Okay, it says the whole world wondered after the beast. Revelation 13:3, Revelation 17 speaks of that. So the prominence of the Pope, rising, he's from America, and, more and more people are looking to the Pope and the papacy to find a way to broker a peace deal. And I kind of ask myself, I wonder how the world will respond if the papacy and the Pope in particular is the vehicle by which a lasting peace happens in the Middle East.
This is very interesting.
One that happens between Ukraine and Russia. One that happens wherever. Imagine.
I think that that's fascinating because that didn't come through with Pope Francis. Pope Francis didn't have that goodwill capital to.
No,
he tried many times, but all of his attempts ended up falling flat. But Pope Leo XIV has a very interesting profile. Particularly now, I think that his profile is being bumped because he's being seen as one pope with guts. He has the courage to stand up against Donald Trump, like very few leaders in the world have the courage to do so. Even though he's also American, and a lot of people were asking, "Hey, is because this pope being American?" And Trump even said that you're only pope because you're Americans. Thanks to me, that I'm the president and I'm bringing America to the forefront of the world. That's why they elected you. Of course, this is a bit of the Trump's bravado, but for Pope Leo has a very interesting persona, very interesting profile because he's an American, but he, publicly at least, he appears to be, standing up against the American president. He had several interactions with J.D. Vance, with Donald Trump, where he's standing his ground. And also, he is the first pope that is truly, genuinely interested in I think that more than any other topic, he wrote a lot about AI and artificial intelligence.
I did.
And actually, one of the big companies of artificial intelligence called Anthropic, they were the developers of the model called Claude. And they are one of the top firms of AI. When they were looking for, when they realized that they were building something so powerful, did you know whom they look for to help to organize a soul to their models?
The Vatican. The Vatican, yeah.
And they spoke to the Pope, and Pope appointed another cardinal that was also a specialist in AI and technology to say, hey, this is how your bot should think and feel.
And I think there was a symposium held last year, and there's a document that they released on AI and the responsible use of AI from an ethical, moral point of view. So I remember sharing that last year. Now, yeah, so that's really interesting. And it's interesting that Marco Rubio, who's a Roman Catholic, he's heading to the Vatican very, very soon to meet with the Pope to, many believe, kind of mend the relationship that's been seriously impacted by this Trump and Pope
war of words
that's happened. So that's really, really interesting. And they're like, oh no, we're not really going for that specifically, but
of course we are.
So, but what's also interesting is the power of the Israel lobby in the United States of America and the evangelical lobby there. Well, the evangelicals and their view of Bible prophecy, as you know, is centered on the Middle East and in particular Israel, the Third Temple being rebuilt, so on and so forth, a physical, literal battle of Armageddon happening there in Israel and the nations coming against many of the nations, including Russia, Turkey, coming against Israel and God standing up and so on and so forth. Now, what's interesting is that more and more individuals like Tucker Carlson, who's very popular, coming to the conclusion that the Israel lobby and the evangelicals in particular, because of their view on Bible prophecy, are the ones that are literally driving America in this war with Iran. Because America seems to be like at a loss. Like, how do they get out of it? They've got nothing to gain, but everything to lose. Nothing to gain, but everything to lose.
And just the other day, the United States, the President Trump declared that the nuclear program of Iran was over. Remember when they had the Operation Midnight Hammer?
That they sent in these
B-2 Spirit bombers that had these bunker-busting bombs that penetrate hundreds of meters underground in these deep mountains of rock. And it destroyed the entire program. Donald Trump
annihilated.
Says, annihilated program.
He used the word annihilated.
That's right. And now they're saying, hey, we have to go back there, otherwise Iran's going to have a nuclear bomb in two weeks.
It changed
the narrative from day to night just like that.
Well, just like Operation Freedom changed to Operation Pause over 24 hours. Yeah. Now, what's fascinating is, in less than 2 weeks' time, May 17, Donald Trump has announced that America will be rededicated to God. You remember that? They're at the National Mall. It's a Sunday. It's going to be a big day. First time in history, Donald Trump says, nobody ever thought it would happen, and it's happening. What's also interesting is our good friend Charissa sent me this interesting article just today from the Jerusalem Post, and this was the headline. Trump urges U.S. Jews to observe National Sabbath in honor of 250th U.S. anniversary. So he made this suggestion during his Jewish American Heritage Month proclamation on Monday. So this Monday gone in the U.S. And it's interesting that he has chosen or he's encouraged Jewish Americans to observe a national Sabbath from sundown May 15, that'd be the Friday, to nightfall or sundown Saturday, May 16, in honor of 250 years of American independence. And on the 17th, we have what? The Christians observing this day of remembrance that they're referring to as one nation under God. Can you see, once again, the Christians and the Jews come together? That wouldn't have been Donald Trump's idea. I can bet my bottom dollar that was not his idea. Someone has spoken to him. Someone has whispered in his ear. It'd be nice for the evangelicals and the Jews, our Jewish brothers and sisters, for us to be uniting this weekend when we want to rededicate America back to God.
And I don't think it's a coincidence. Just this last week, Danny, Benjamin Netanyahu decided to appoint a diplomat.
Oh yeah, this was news to me.
Ambassador. So normally, when you appoint ambassadors, you appoint the ambassador of Israel to Azerbaijan. The ambassador to America, the ambassador to countries. You send an ambassador to represent you before a country. But this time, and I believe the first time in history, Israel decided to appoint someone as an ambassador to Christianity.
Wow.
So the previous ambassador for Azerbaijan, he is a Arab Israeli Christian from the Orthodox tradition, and his father was, you know, one of the leaders in the Orthodox Church in Israel, and he has been appointed to be the new ambassador of Israel before Christianity. So every time that any country anywhere in the world has Christians in particular have issues with things that Israel has done, he's the guy to go
like
there
what
and
happened
say,
in
hey,
Lebanon?
Let's explain. For example, what happened in Lebanon? Like, you know, the two Israel, the one Israeli soldier and the one fuming who got a sledgehammer and destroyed a statue of Jesus. But there's a bunch of things that have happened in Israel, in the past 15, 20 days that led a lot of people upset in the Christian world. There is that event. There's another event where some soldiers gratuitously destroyed all the solar panels of a Christian village in Lebanon that had no Hezbollah presence. Israel had just forbidden and the licenses of Christian teachers that live in the West Bank to work in Israel.
Oh, wow.
So for many, many years, they enjoyed a green card. So if you're a Christian, they have 200 and 250 teachers that work in Christian schools in Jerusalem. And from pretty much overnight, the Israeli government says, you're not allowed to teach anymore because you live in the West Bank and your license is not valid. We don't recognize your teaching capabilities here anymore. And there's a big uproar, particularly from the Christian communities there, saying, hey, how are our kids going to go to school? Another event that, happened as well, and probably this is the biggest one that draw the ire of the United States and Italy. Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni commented on that. The highest ranking cardinal from the Roman Catholic Church in Jerusalem is Bishop Pizzaballa. And during Palm Sunday, they traditionally go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the place that's built around where Jesus supposedly was buried. And they do a meeting there. They do a mass. They film it. They broadcast it. And last Sunday, on Palm Sunday, when they tried to do this, the police prohibited him from entering the church. And of course, they're saying, look, this is from national security perspective because there might be missiles coming from Iran, but other sites were not closed. So they took that as an attempt against religious freedom. But Benjamin Netanyahu has been backtracking. For example, the two soldiers that were involved in the Statue of Jesus event, they were both jailed for 1 month and then they were sacked.
And that never happens.
That very rarely happens
an Israeli soldier that has, you know, potentially done something completely wrong or even taken lives is disciplined in that way. So this is huge.
It's huge. And then so Benjamin Netanyahu himself overruled and said, hey, let the priests go to their church. We should not be preventing them from exercising their religion.
He weighed in.
So he weighed in. And because my interpretation of that, they need the support of evangelical and Catholic Christians in America.
That's right.
Because that's where their political support in America is mainly coming from.
That's right. That's right. So, folk, you don't hear this on mainline news. What we're talking to you about, we don't hear this from, but this is from a prophetic point of view. So the enemy will always have a counterfeit for what true Bible prophecy is. True Bible prophecy is centered in the United States at the end of time, which will be the epicenter. But the false narrative of Bible prophecy is where Bible prophecy at the end of time is centered in Israel. And that's the false view. And so that is why you have this conflict the way it is. And that's why, unless you have a biblical worldview, you do not make sense of why things are the way they are. So, folk, there's a lot more we could talk about, but we're going to leave it there for this week because after this song, from Meredith Andrews. You're not alone. We are going to launch into the technological republic, care of our brother Scaffy. So looking forward to that, Scaffy.
Me too. This is Meredith Andrews with You Are Not Alone. Thank you for listening and stay tuned. We're going to come back with some really, really interesting stuff.
I searched for love when the night came and it closed in. I was alone, but you found me where I was hiding. And now I'll never ever be the same. It was the sweetest voice that called my name, saying,
was Meredith Andrews with You Are Not Alone. And if you're thinking that what is Scaffy doing in the afternoon show, not in the breakfast show, it's because I'm covering for Sharissa today. She's on holidays.
Yeah, I'm here with my mate Danny.
So Danny, we have to do this show together. We have so much to talk about.
And Scaffy was just telling me while that beautiful piece of music was going, that everything has lined up. All the ducks have lined up for him to be here this afternoon. Like four or five different things have lined up. Otherwise, he would not be able to be here. It'd be impossible. So he considered that a sign from the Lord that it was meant to be. So, Scaffy, before we hand over to you, mate, we're all like sitting on the edge of our seats waiting to hear all about this technological republic connected with Revelation 13 and the end times. The code word for our book, Fire from Heaven, is LU26 Judgment. LU26 judgment and text that word to 0488817624. That's 0488817624. And that book will be coming your way. Otherwise, if you've got any questions for Scaffy, as you're listening, you got any questions for Scaffy, please text that question, that comment through to the number I've just given you. And I'm sure Scaffy will be ready and willing and excited to give you his response. That's so, right. Scaffy, over to you, brother.
All right. So I want to talk to you about this post made by Palantir Technology that generated a lot of buzz. I think it's really, truly a historical post. One of these posts that don't come often. And it's basically laying down a manifesto about what is the world that the tech giants want to see. And this was basically, this post was a summary of a book that has been a best-selling book in the United States called The Technological Republic, written by a guy called Alexander Karp, and who is the CEO of this company called Palantir Technology. I'm going to tell you all about, all that you need to know about Palantir. He wrote that with Nicholas Zamiska, which is the chief legal officer of that same company, who is has been founded by a guy named Peter Thiel, whom you probably heard
about. Heard of Peter Thiel.
He's a big shot now in U.S. politics. Mm-hmm. So let's understand first, before we jump into the 22 statements about the future, I'm going to read each one of these summaries. We're going to read the whole X post that was made by Palantir, and we're going to look into it. A few things first. When we're looking at Revelation chapter 13, we see two big elements there that I want to bring attention here. One is that America is described as a power that looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon.
Has two horns like a lamb.
Horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. We're going to see a lot of that characteristic in this post, number one. Number two, we also see that at the time of the last final crisis on the earth, which is a crisis around worship, there is going to be an unprecedented level of policing and control over people, to the point that those who refuse to worship are not going to be able to first buy or sell, and ultimately going to be jailed and even put to death. What technologies are going to enable that? That's also what we're going to see here in that post.
So this plays right into the heart of Revelation 13.
Exactly. I would say that this is the house. This is, we are getting to the areas of how is Revelation 13 going to happen. And I think that this post will reveal a lot about how that is going to be made possible and enabled.
Wow. And is it any coincidence that we have these tech giants, in particular, you know, Peter Thiel, there in the United States of America? It's not coincidental,
no,
is it?
Not coincidental.
It's incredible. So, yeah.
So let's talk about Palantir Technology, Peter Thiel, and so on, because this is very interesting. So Peter Thiel was the founder of Palantir Technologies. Who is Peter Thiel? He's a German-born man who moved to the United States when he was young, and he studied at Stanford University. He had a, he did, I believe, 2 degrees there, one in law and another one in philosophy. He studied there, and then he became rich because he was one of the co-founders of a company named PayPal. Now, PayPal is a household name. I think that everybody paid something online using PayPal before. Have you used PayPal before? I know that you have allergy to buying stuff, Danny. You're not a very consumeristic guy.
No, I'm not. You can tell by my clothes.
PayPal is like a, it's an online, one of the first online payment platforms. Ah. When the internet was in its infancy, pretty much in the, you know, when e-commerce was starting to develop, Amazon was just selling books, for example, at the time. PayPal came in as a way to process secure payments. Mm. And that company was sold in 2002 for $1.4 billion. There's, they call it PayPal Mafia. A lot of people, a lot of famous people were involved with that. One of them is a guy named Elon Musk, for example. You probably have heard about him.
I've heard a little bit about Elon Musk.
Yeah, he cashed out about $150 million from the sale of PayPal, which leveraged him to allow him to start other companies that eventually led to X and, you know, the big empire that he built.
Starlink
and so on. But Peter Thiel was one of them. He was not as, I think he had about 4% of the share. So he's, when they sold PayPal for $1.4 billion, he cashed in the modest sum of $55 million. And with that money, he opened up the following year, 2003, Palantir Technologies. But he had a dream and he had a vision. Before I talk about the vision that he had for Palantir Technologies, I just want to say something very interesting here. You will see that there's a lot of people from Stanford in the tech world. The author of The Technological Republic, which is the CEO of Palantir Technologies, is Alex Karp. He's also a Stanford graduate. He did his PhD in sociology there. And one of the things that I do not know if it's, I don't think it's coincidental, but I think it's worth mentioning. Stanford has been, as a university, has been founded on the basis of spiritualism.
Wow.
So the story is that the
spiritualism is going to be key in Revelation 13.
And spiritually,
the signs and the wonders, that's right. The fire from heaven,
the spirits of demons that look like frogs that are going to be going out and deceiving the world in Revelation 16. So you know how you have, you know, Christian universities around the world and so on? Well, you have like a spiritualist university called Stanford University.
Is that right? I had no idea.
And it started, it's not in their formal policy. Not that you're going there, you're going to be learning spiritualism as part of the curriculum, but spiritualism was part and parcel of its foundation. It started when a couple named Leland and Jane Stanford, they had a son, and Leland Jr., and their son tragically died at the age of 15 from typhoid fever whilst they were in a trip in Italy. Now, Leland Cleveland was already a pretty famous man. He made a fortune in the railway industry in the United States. He was also governor of the state of California, if I'm not mistaken. So he was already a well-known political figure. He was handsomely wealthy. But the death of their son really shocked their family. It really was a big event for that family, which led Jane Stanford to really jump into spiritualism for comfort and support. So she would attend seances and meetings all over the world, hoping to hear from her dead son.
Wow.
But at the deathbed of Leland Jr., the father was sitting with him and he fell asleep. And in that dream, he saw his son coming to him and saying, "Father, do not say that you don't have anything to live for. You're going to live for humanity." And with these words, he woke up from his slumber, from his dream. And when he was, you know, he was holding on to the hands of his son in his deathbed. And when he looked at his son, he had died at that moment. So he took that as a sign and saying, "I think that this is what we have to do. We are going to become fathers now to the children of California, and we're going to start a university for them." But so that's, and then they donated pretty much all of their fortune into creating and establishing Stanford, including an 8,000-acre farm is the land where Stanford University is sitting on at the moment. Not only that, there's another interesting connection there, and that one even includes Australia. So another person who was very, very strong in spiritualism was Stanford's brother. His name is Thomas Weston. And Thomas Weston, Welton. Thomas Welton Stanford, he lost his wife I don't remember now the exact circumstances, but because of that drove him very hard into spiritualism, trying to get messages from her and comfort from her. He came to Australia in the 1850s, and he was also very, very, very wealthy, and he is the father of spiritualism in Australia. So he founded the Association of Spiritualism in Victoria, which was the first organized body of spiritualism in Australia.
Wow. How long ago was that?
So that was in the 1850s. So what we can see is that the Stanfords were very closely related to spiritualism, and his brother Welton, also being handsomely wealthy, he donated all of his fortune to the establishment of Stanford University in the United States. And he had a huge collection of spiritualism books and boards and like Ouija boards and these kinds of things. He donated all to the library of Stanford, and it's still there this day if you want to go into that. I wouldn't go into that particular section in the library, but it's all there for people to see.
So wait a minute. So the Stanfords, their son passed away like in the 1840s, somewhere there?
Yeah. Let me see here the date if I can get it.
So if that's the case, that means we add this to the list of all the different events that are happening during those 1840s, 50s, and 60s, which is the counterfeit to the three angels' messages going out. That's the beginning of the time of the judgment.
1880s. So that was 1884. Yeah. Leland Stanford Jr. died. That's when that was.
We're dealing with all these events are happening in the 1800s. Mid to sort of late 1800s that are setting things up for that end time showdown, including spiritualism.
Including spiritualism.
And we know about the Fox sisters.
That's right.
And, you know, what took place there. That's one of the key modern day revival of spiritualism there in the United States of America.
Exactly right.
So this is all happening at that same time when God's final message of love needs to go to the whole world. So we've got the enemy throwing in his counterfeits.
And the Stanford University is going to be the alma mater of a lot of these big end time figures, including, for example, the ministers. So we have Peter Thiel, for example, being one of them. Alex Karp, the author of the book, The Technological Republic, that we're going to be talking more about it, is a Stanford graduate. Donald Trump's envoy, minister for AI. The guy that's in charge of AI, it's also a Stanford graduate. So they call it the Stanford Mafia because they are a very tight-knit group and network. And I just find it interesting here that these all guys coming from Stanford, and Stanford being pretty much one of the first universities founded by heavily spiritualistic founders with a big view for spiritualism as the solution for men's issues and problems.
Interesting. And I'm just here, you know, while you've been talking, I just Googled through ChatGPT in connection with Palantir and Peter Thiel. And it says here very clearly that, you know, this data analytics platforms have been designed since 2003, as you pointed out. And that's when Palantir was formed, to integrate, analyze, and visualize large complex data sets, especially in connection with government intelligence, defense, and law enforcement.
I'm going to explain exactly how it works. I'm going to explain
to you. That's on ChatGPT, so folks can go there, and in a simple way, you can just check out for yourself what SCAF is telling us.
And I'm going to explain to you exactly how it works. Mm-hmm. Palantir has two main products that everybody should know about. One is called Gotham, and the other one is called Maven. These are the two big products that we're going to be talking about. But let's get into how did Palantir get formed. When PayPal was sold, PayPal had one differential. They had their secret weapon, so to speak. They developed a system to catch on financial fraud that was completely groundbreaking and innovative. At that time, when people would be committing fraud, the only ways for people, for banks to find out about the fraud was you have to call them and complain. Mm-hmm. Or they will see some really, really weird transaction. Mm-hmm. And normally banks were losing about 1% of their revenue in frauds. So you complain, they had to reimburse you, and they're losing lots of money. What PayPal pioneered is that they used a first interaction of artificial intelligence to start looking at all of this data that they had in the system and in milliseconds calculate if a transaction was likely to be a fraud or not. For example, they'll look at things, for example, where the IP address from that person connected to this credit card is different from that person's normal place of residence. So that's likely to be a fraud. Or this transaction is being made from outside of the United States, whereas that person, the owner of the credit card lives in the United States. That's a fraud. They're starting to look into patterns and saying, hey, this is fraudulent. This has a high chance of being fraudulent. Let's stop this transaction until we can verify. The innovation here is that before that was done manually, case by case, by a person. Now PayPal developed a system that was able to look into millions of transactions per second.
Sounds like AI.
It was the beginning of AI.
Wow.
And so when they sold their company, they came to the government and says, what if I apply the same superpowers that I have in PayPal, but instead of preventing financial fraud, if we can prevent terrorist attacks?
Wow.
That's what we're going to be talking about next after this song. This is Athena with Right There With Me.
Thank you.
when my body is too weak, when I can hardly speak, I find him there. When my strength
That was Athena with Right There With Me. You're listening to The Looking Up Show here on Faith FM. If you're listening live, today is Wednesday, the 6th of May, and I am Scaffy, and I'm in the studio with Danny Milenkov. I am covering for Charissa today.
Yes, you are indeed, and you're doing a fantastic job.
Thanks for inviting me. It's lots of fun.
I thought I talk a lot, but Scaffy, you outdo me. You outdo me, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it, and Shelley's smiling because she knows it's true. Now, before we allow Scaffy to launch into some more, and by the way, folks, you're going to need your seatbelts. You're going to need your seatbelts because Scaffy gave me a bit of a heads up on where we are going, and you will need your seatbelts. So just a heads up. Our code word for our book, Fire From Heaven, Finding Joy in the Judgment is 0488 176 24, and text this word if you're interested in getting hold of that book, LU26 judgment, all one word, no emojis. Is that how you say it? Emojis or whatever, however you say it, smileys and whatever else. I never get that right.
Hieroglyphs.
Oh, mate. But yeah, so LU26 judgment to 0488 176 24. All right, brother, continue on.
All right, so 2002, what happened the year before?
2002, that was straight after 9-11.
9-11. So everybody was thinking about 9-11 in the United States. And Peter Thiel sold his share in PayPal in 2002. 2003, he started Palantir Technologies. And I'm going to tell you what's in the name, Palantir. But Peter Thiel had this belief that he could have prevented 9-11 from happening if we use the right technologies.
Mm.
One of the reasons was because after the 9-11 aftermath, in the aftermath of the Twin Towers terrorist attack in the United States, they ran a 9-11 commission to try to figure out how did we get this wrong? How did we allow that to happen?
How did we miss it?
How did we miss it? Similar to what they're doing now with the Bondi Massacre Commission.
Royal Commission.
The Royal Commission. They're trying to figure out, okay, how can we prevent that from ever happening again? Well, governments do that all the time when there's a national tragedy like this. It's actually a good thing to do. And what they found out in the United States that one of the main pieces of the puzzle that was missing that allowed 9-11 from happening is that all of the different intelligence and law enforcement agencies in the United States, they worked in silos. So what the CIA knew, the FBI didn't knew. What the FBI knew, the CIA didn't knew. What the immigration agencies knew, everybody else didn't knew. So nobody had the whole picture. And what became clear is that prior to 2001, at least from 1999, through 2 years prior, the CIA already knew that two of the hijackers of the airplanes that collided into the Twin Towers in the United States, they were known terrorists. But the immigration agencies never knew that, so they gave them visas. Mm-hmm. When these guys went to the United States, the FBI raised some red flags that, hey, there's two Middle Eastern men in visas, and they're doing aviation courses to learn how to fight really big jet planes. But they have no career aspirations in that area. It's very weird. We should keep an eye on these guys. But the CIA did not know who these guys were. The CIA also, the NSA, I believe, or the CIA, they also discovered that these guys had been receiving payments from the UAE. And so very suspicious. Who are these guys coming to the United States on a visa, doing airplane piloting courses with a dodgy airplane pilot trainer, receiving money from the Middle East, and these guys being known in the Al-Qaeda? That would have raised all the alarm bells if it was in this day and age. And these guys are into something.
Absolutely.
But the problem is nobody knew what the others knew. So Peter Thiel said his expertise is in data analytics. We generate tons of data. There's data all over the place, but he generates the softwares that help to find patterns and figure out what's going on. And you can send in prompts. You can send, for example, who is connected with these guys here? These Middle Eastern guys doing, and then they would see, imagine that the CIA say, oh, these guys are actually terrorists, known terrorists, by the way. We know, we get them. We should get them to jail. So Peter Thiel came to the Pentagon and says, I can actually help all of your agencies. So local police stations, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, airports, immigration, homeland security, all of these agencies, I say we can get one big pool of data and you can search through seamlessly through their database, like doing a Google.
So that's just what AI does today.
That's what AI does today. That's the beginnings of AI.
That's what ChatGPT does today.
Yeah. It was the infancy of AI. But he was able to connect all of the dots so that, and then he says, if we had this technology before, 9-11 would never have happened. And this way you can connect all the databases of all of the intelligence that we collect in this country, and we can actually make decisions that will help our country to be safe.
So this is preventing future terrorist attacks.
That's right.
Okay. So that was 9-11 was 9-11. We had the Bondi Massacre last year in December. Why didn't we have some of these things in place, or how did it go in, under the radar? I guess we're going to find out.
Maybe,
possibly.
I don't think that the Australian government subscribes to Gotham. So basically, Palantir, they had developed a software called this platform called Gotham, which unites all of the American security agents' data into one big software that can see the data between it. It helps the FBI to find criminals. It helps the police to find who who assassins are, criminals are. It helps oversees everything. All of the information that intelligence data that is being collected by drones, by surveillance cameras, by emails, by text messages, by phone, everything is combined together so you can search for whatever you need, and the AI will help to generate the relationships between these people.
And let me ask you, not only can you put in your own search, but can you ask AI to share with you any red flags?
Yes.
So
that's what the system did even 20 years ago.
Where are all the red flags and they're all itemized and why they're
exactly.
Red flags? Wow.
Because it's impossible to sift through billions and billions and billions of lines of data by a human mind, but a computer can do that very easily.
Yeah. So how does this fit into Revelation 13, or do you need to share a few more things before we get to Revelation
13? I'll share a few more things. We're going to get into that. So they cited Gotham, and that his company, Palantir Technologies, was one of their early investors, was the venture capital fund from the CIA. They have a capital fund too, you know, and they invested in that, and that became a big thing. Fast forwarding with the development of AI, Gotham is already integrated in all of American security institutions. Then they developed a second system called Maven. Now, Maven is the system that helped America to acquire all of the targets in Iran, for example. How did they have 1,000 targets in one day? Usually it takes hours and hours and hours. It used to take hours and hours and hours for the army to develop an intelligence package. Hey, this is a target. But then Palantir Technologies developed Maven, and Maven is now the standardized software to make decisions in all of the military forces of the United States. What it does, it combines this data of satellites, of drones, of intelligence analysts and so on. It looks into all of that data, and then you can ask him things like, tell me where all the artillery units are in that specific geographic area. It tells you, boom, there it is in real time. And then you can do or suggest to me target packages. So now before Maven, for you to have a target package, it would take hours and hours of manpower to do it. Now it can be done in seconds.
Wow.
This is why the United States is able to generate so many target packages in so little time. It has to be reviewed by a human.
Because I was going to ask, I think on the very first day of the bombing campaign, allegedly an American missile struck that school.
That's
and
right.
And there was over 150, 160 primary school children that were killed.
And this is still being investigated. But what the preliminary results that have been released to the media point is that, yes, Maven might have been involved in suggesting that as a target, but the human who was reviewing it, they already had the information. There was available information that compound, which used to be the headquarters of the Navy of the Iranian regime, for at least 15 years, it had been converted into a school. But the database where Maven is operating has not been updated.
Oh.
And the AI is only as good as the data that you trained him with.
Of course.
So nobody updated that, hey, this is actually now a school for girls. So for Maven, for the software, this is still the headquarters of the Iranian Navy.
And so because it wasn't double-checked.
It wasn't double-checked.
Properly.
And then you had the tragedy.
They took the AI Maven as gospel. And,
exactly.
And away they went.
Because they're thinking, look, we don't have the time to be analyzing all of these targets one by one and double-checking everything, even though for the major ones they should. And I think this is probably one of their big lessons to learn, is that in the same way when we do AI, sometimes AIs hallucinate, for example.
Absolutely.
That case, it was not a case of hallucination, but it was a case where the database was not updated, not up to date.
And so many people, you were sharing with me before, so many people put their faith and trust in AI now. Like they want to know something, young people in particular, they'll put their question into ChatGPT or whatever, or some other AI search engine, and whatever it says, they take that as gospel.
That's right. This is exactly what happened. It took as gospel. So what Maven has now become, the Pentagon says that Maven is the cornerstone of their strategy. This is how they're going to win wars against China, Russia, and so on, because of that software. those capabilities of using AI to make decisions and to empower decisions of the commanders of the army. So now this software is not even, it has been processed by the Pentagon as something that is part of the ordinary ongoing budget of defense. It's not just a program, it's not just a test, it's not just a trial software. This now has billions and billions of dollars every year of budget to keep developing that. This is why Palantir Technologies is, I would say, the most important and influential company in the United States today as far as the military goes.
So is this one of the reasons why the United States government has asked for more money in its defense budget from $900 billion to $1.5 billion.
This is one of the big reasons.
Which is $600 billion more.
There's other reasons as well. There's investment in drones and everything.
I'm sure there is, but I mean, that's just gone through the roof.
Yeah.
Investment in defense.
And this and that company, and by the way,
so that tells us there could be something on the horizon beyond what we're seeing right now.
That's right.
And because why would you want so much more money for artillery?
Exactly
and,
right.
And all other means for waging war.
Exactly right. And because Palantir is Palantir, their post is so significant. What they've said about, hey, this is how the future should look like. We're not talking about some random conspiracy theory dude in the internet writing things. We're talking about the most important, most influential company in the world right now.
Palantir.
Palantir Technologies.
And you know what? Most people have got no idea.
No, because it operates in the shadows pretty much. But I'll tell you two things here about Palantir. One thing is that Palantir, the name Palantir, do you know where it comes from? It comes from the book The Lord of the Rings. In the book The Lord of the Rings, there were these crystal balls that enabled their user to see whatever they wanted in far distant places. So when you see like data surveillance and so on, Palantir.
Unbelievable.
So that's where they're coming
from. Are
you
serious?
Yeah, it's from the Lord of the Rings.
And you mentioned the earlier version, or Gotham, I think you mentioned.
It's Batman.
Batman and the Gotham
right.
Movie. I haven't watched Batman, but I know Gotham City.
What is Gotham? Gotham is a city that is bound with evil and that needs some serious action to avoid it. So
seriously.
You use Gotham. To basically Gotham allows to have all the bad guys lined up one by one in one big screen, in one big system.
So you combine Gotham and Palantir. You combine those two words. You combine the meaning behind them. And you've got evil that can be far-seeing into the future with massive ramifications for everyone in order to impose surveillance.
That's right.
In order to impose a particular way of control.
Exactly.
This sounds like a new world order.
A new world order.
That is being rolled out.
And that's where we're going to be looking at their version of the new world order. And before we jump into that, so that's what we're going to be covering in the next segment. But do you know a guy called J.D. Vance? Have
yes.
you heard about him?
Yes, the indeed.
Vice president
he's the vice
of the
president
United
of the
States.
US. Surely he's not involved as
so
well.
So do you know who he is? He's the protege of Peter Thiel.
No way.
So Peter Thiel read his J.D. Vance's book, Hillbilly Elegy, and he liked it. He invited him to have a lunch, dinner with him. He hired him straight away to work for one of his firms, venture capital firm, investment
wow.
fund. So J.D. Vance worked for Peter Thiel. After that, a few years later, J.D. Vance started his own fund. Peter Thiel, donated, millions and millions of dollars, not donated, but invested and helped to find over $100 million to kickstart J.D. Vance's fund. And when J.D. Vance decided to run for the Senate, guess how much Peter Thiel gave to him? $15 million. He was the number one
donor
of J.D. Vance's campaign. And the story is that Peter Thiel was the guy that called Donald Trump at the time that Donald Trump was looking for a vice president. He says, you have to get the J.D. Vance.
Are you serious?
He needs to be your guy. Many
wow.
times. So he is the guy responsible for having J.D. Vance as being the number two. So J.D. Vance is representing the new technological elite of the United States, who has so much more power way beyond just developing apps for you and I to use in our
wow,
cell phones.
Wow, this is such a fascinating discussion. I can't wait to go to the next level. But yeah, this is just mind-boggling how this is all coming together. So where are we going to now, Scaffy? What's that song?
So this is Becca Jordan with Everywhere I Go.
Your love is older than the hills. Rivers run dry, mountains shake. Everything, including me, is gonna pass away. Your love is older than the hills. Your love is taller than the trees, wider than the sky that's over me, reaching out past all my big dreams. Your love is taller than the trees.
You just heard Becca Jordan, Everywhere I Go, Everywhere I Go. So we are in the final stages, mate. This is a rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit
I was
hole.
Telling Scaffy that has no end. And this, yeah, it's incredible. My eyes have been open. So, folk, I hope and pray your eyes have been open one final time. Fire from Heaven, our giveaway book today, Finding Joy in the Judgment. LU26 judgment is the code word to text to 04-888-17624. Have we had any comments, any questions, Shell, so far? Or is everyone pretty stunned like I am?
Lots of people taking the book.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. People are probably stunned like I am, Scaffy. You might have to come back
here. People are probably like, I don't even know how to ask a question about this.
Yeah. Look, this is a lot of material. This is probably one of the shows that you want to go and access it later as a podcast.
Absolutely.
And you can verify everything that I am saying. It's all in the public domain. Mm. I'm just connecting the dots here between what's in the media with what's in the Bible.
And he knows his stuff because he hasn't been barely looking at his computer. He's looking at me and I'm kind of just looking at him with my mouth wide open. It's phenomenal. Scaffy, continue on, mate.
All right, so let's move on from now. We're talking about Palantir and how important Palantir is. Palantir is single-handedly the company that the United States Army and the military and the defense rely on today for war making. They are the number one. So when the CEO of that company and the chief legal officer of that company, they write a book, and then the official X account of Palantir Technology publishes a summary of that book is because they want you to know what they're thinking. And they wrote a book called The Technological Republic. And The Technological Republic has 22 principles of how the world should run from now on.
Wow.
And are you ready for
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Number one.
I think I'm ready.
All right.
Seatbelts, folks. Seatbelts.
And let's see if you can connect that with the Bible. Number one principle. And I'll tell you from now on, the last three principles are the craziest ones.
All right. So two seatbelts.
Right. So, okay. Number one, Silicon Valley. So this is the justification. Yeah. Silicon Valley owes a moral debt to the country that made its rise possible. So basically, they're saying here, look, the America made us, the Silicon Valley entrepreneurs, billionaires. We owe them a moral debt. We have to help way beyond just enriching our own pockets and creating apps that everybody use. We need to help the United States. It's our moral duty.
Wow.
Look at the heroes. We have to be enmeshed in every single system of the government. It's our responsibility to keep you safe.
Amen. Wow. Far okay. out. Yeah.
That's their justification there. See, look, we're doing this because we're so altruistic. We're not thinking about power. We're not thinking about control. We are only thinking about helping our country. Number two, we must rebel against the tyranny of the apps. Is the iPhone our greatest creative, if not crowning achievement as a civilization? The object has changed our lives, but it may also now be limiting and constraining our sense of the possible. Say, hey, we need to move on from apps into something a bit more substantial technologically. The iPhones are great, but hey, we have to move beyond that. We have to use all of the power, the capacities that we have for something greater. That's the second point. The third point, free email is not enough. He says the decadence of a culture or civilization and indeed its ruling class will be forgiven only if that culture is capable of delivering economic growth and security for the public, peace and safety. So they're saying here, hey, the only way we can save America is if America can leverage its economy and keep people safe. And the only avenue to do that sustainably is through technology and AI. You need us to keep you safe and rich.
So that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, when they cry peace and safety.
That's, right. That's the word of the day, wow. Peace and safety. So it was right here. Verse principle 4, the limits of soft power, a.k.a. democracy, diplomacy, and so on, of soaring rhetoric alone have been exposed. The ability of free and democratic societies to prevail requires something more than just moral appeal. It requires hard power, and hard power in this century will be built on software. Saying we need to go back into big stick mode. And big stick mode in this day and age means software, AI. We need to be able to have power, real power, hard power, not just words. This is a very dangerous world. We have China, have Russia.
Yeah, and the world runs on the internet.
Yeah.
You shut down the internet, you basically shut down the world, and so you've got full control.
That's right.
Because everything runs on the internet. Banking, shopping, exactly. You name it.
So whoever controls the internet utilities, controls the world.
And AI will be the overarching umbrella controlling the internet.
You got it. Exactly.
Wow.
Principle 5, the question is not whether AI weapons will be built. The question is who will build them and for what purpose? Our adversaries will not pause to indulge in theatrical debates about the merits of developing technologies with critical military national security application. They will proceed. So saying, look, if we don't do this, Russia will, China will, we cannot be holding back, thinking about safety, ethics, and so on. You know, if we want to win this race, we have to be ruthless.
So this is the AI race. Basically, rather than you had the nuclear race once upon a time. During the Cold War, this is now the...
That's right.
This is very much sounding like the Tower of Babel.
Isn't it?
The Tower of Babel being constructed.
And basically what they're saying, like, stop questioning the moral validity of this. Like, we have to do it. It's not a question anymore. We have to build it before our enemies do. That's what we have to do. Have to strike them first if you want to survive.
Incredible.
Look at this one. This one is principle 6. National service should be a universal duty. We should, as a society, seriously consider moving away from an all-volunteer force and only fight the next war if everyone shares in the risk and the cost. Everybody needs to be a part of the army. Like Israel, for example.
Like Israel, yes. And many other countries where it's compulsory. Yeah.
So basically vowing for like a militarized United States. Does that remind you of the Roman Empire?
Absolutely.
Where every citizen was also a fighter? There we go. Number 7. If a U.S. Marine asks for a better rifle, we should build it. And the same goes for software. In other words, whatever the Army asks us to develop for software, we have to give them.
So the ends justify the means.
The ends justify the means. This is what they say. So look, we're just giving them the tools. What they do with the tools is their problem. And we're trusting that they're doing the right thing. We're just doing the tools.
Trusting that they are doing the right thing.
Yeah. Number 8. Public servants need not be our priests. Any business that compensated its employees in the way that the federal government compensates public servants would struggle to survive. You know what this is, what he's saying without saying? We should get rid of public servants and in their place put AI, which is way cheaper, way more efficient to run the government through robots and technology and software than people. We are going to go bankrupt if we're keeping so many public servants in their jobs.
And where are people going to find jobs?
Right?
Universal basic income.
Or universal basic income. Wow. And now you have a hand-me-down money from the government. And when someone is paying you your allowance, if you're not being grateful, so to speak, in quotes to them, what can they do? They're going to cut your allowance.
Sounds like Revelation 13.
Sounds like Revelation 13. You're depending on the government and, you know, so they can cut you and prevent you from buying and selling.
I can see the pieces
and that is very
together.
Easy to do with, for example, electronic currencies.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
9. We should show, look at this one, it's going to make your hair split. We should show far more grace towards those who have subjected themselves to public life. He says, so basically saying this, hey, we should not give politicians a hard time. Stop criticizing politicians. Let them run their jobs.
So
stop
basically
following them.
Give them free rein.
Give them free rein.
That sounds like a really good idea. Not.
Stop bothering us with all your moral questions and dilemmas.
No more protests.
It is number 10 is similar. This psychologization of modern politics is leading us straight. Like, stop criticizing us. Give us some grace. Number 11. Our society has grown too eager to hasten, and it is often gleeful at the demise of its enemies. So he's saying, hey, we should not be hating our enemies, by the way. I'm saying all of this, but then there's like a seemingly balancing statement saying, by the way, we should not rejoice if we are destroying our opponent, but we should actually take that moment to pause. We should still go and destroy them, but not happily do so, because it's a solemn duty to protect our nation. We don't hold a beef against anyone. So this is a bit of a PR move, in my opinion. Verse 12, the atomic age is ending. One age of deterrence, the atomic age, is ending, and a new era of deterrence built on AI is set to begin. This is what we're talking about. Forget about nuclear. The next deterrence powers will be AI. Whoever runs AI runs the world.
Tower of Babel.
No other country in the history of the world has advanced progressive values more than this one. In other words, the United States is in a position to tell everybody what to do because we are the most prosperous nation on the planet. So we should be running the show globally.
So that sounds like Revelation 13. He causes the world.
The whole world to marvel.
To worship
and
the
to
beast.
Follow the beast.
And to follow the beast. And worship the image of the
beast. And worship the image of the beast.
Which is this union of religion and government.
Wait, because he's going to be talking about religion.
Oh.
You think that Palantir is only going to be talking about technology and surveillance?
No.
They're going to talk about religion. It's coming. 14, American power made possible extraordinary long peace. The post-war neutering of Germany and Japan must be undone. In other words, rearm Germany and Japan and help them. Number 16, we should applaud those who attempt to build where the market has failed to act. So he's saying, hey, not only we should, those billionaires that are helping to the movers and shakers, you shouldn't be criticizing them or looking at them with suspicion. You should actually applaud them. We want your applause. We want your, like, it
just
makes
like
me think
government.
Of Kim Jong-un, for example. Mm. You have to applaud them as well.
Absolutely.
You have no other choice in North Korea. Silicon Valley must play a role in addressing violent crime. Again, we should be the ones saving the country. We should be the new Batmans, the new saviors,
moral
new deliverers.
Moral obligation.
I'll jump here 18. It's not, you know, we already spoke about it. I want to go into 20 to 22. These are the last ones. The pervasive intolerance of religious belief in certain circles must be resisted.
Wow.
So they're saying, hey, this idea that we should leave religion out of it, we should push back against that. because it's good religions that advance society, and we should be bringing that into the forefront.
Well, that sounds exactly what we've been hearing coming out of the US. Like the evangelicals who were saying the idea of separation of church and state is bad for our nation. We need to bring the church and the state back together.
This is a combination of
one
church
nation
and state.
Under God.
There you go.
Wow.
So you have the backing of Palantir.
That's the image of the beast being formed.
Forming in the front of our very eyes here.
Wow.
21. Look at this one. Some cultures have produced vital advances. Others remain dysfunctional and regressive. We know what they're talking about here, don't we? All cultures are now equal. Criticism and value judgments are forbidden. Yet this new dogma glosses over the fact that certain cultures, and indeed even subcultures, have produced wonders. Others have proven middling and worse, regressive and harmful.
So this is seeking to bring about a new world order based on there is a culture that we believe is
Christianity,
the right
the
culture,
subculture, evangelical slash. Roman Catholic Christianity, and all the other religions and cultures, they're all regressive. They haven't contributed with anything with mankind.
So they either need to get with the program.
They need to get into that, because this is how we're going to advance as a one world.
As a society.
As a society.
This is our moral obligation.
And our moral obligation is to help the United States to achieve
this
that.
This is the Tower of Babel, where they had one aim, where they wanted to create a name for themselves. It was one purpose, one aim. This is Babylon in Revelation, where for 1 hour they seek to unite together as one. Babylon is this confederacy, 100%. This unity. We're seeing that being formed before our very eyes.
And
wow.
You want to see the cherry on the top?
I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready.
Are you ready for the cherry on the top? This is item 22.
All right, go for it.
Maybe I won't say. Maybe it'll be a surprise.
No. You can't keep us hanging. Let's get to 22.
Here we go. We must resist the shallow temptation of a vacant and hollow pluralism. In other words, whoever is disagreeing with us should not take a place. We in America, and more broadly the West, have for the past half century resisted defining national cultures in the name of inclusivity. But inclusion into what? In other words, we're talking about pluralism. This is a trap. We should have what is the opposite of pluralism?
Singularism.
Uniformity.
Uniformity, yeah.
My question is, does that apply to religious beliefs? Because there is going to be a group of people in Revelation 13 that are also call themselves Christians, but have one very specific thing. They are very adamant in keeping all of the commandments of God and following Jesus, and they're not tolerated because we should not fall to the temptation of embracing everyone, particularly if they're going against what
we
are preaching.
So this is where all this is heading, because we know the enemy's attack. The dragon's attack is on the commandment keepers, those who have the testimony of Jesus, have the faith of Jesus. We know that. And so this is the framework being set up for what's going to be rolled out.
Exactly. And everybody's applauding. If you look at the comments on that, everybody's applauding these publications. And this book, The Technological Republic, number one bestseller in the New York Times.
Wow, is
everybody's
that right?
Reading and everybody thinking this is the America that we need.
And so they're all giving it a thumbs up.
Revelation 13.
Wow, this is all incredible, incredible. Well, Scaffy, we've come to our last song, brother.
All right, this is Madison Ryan Ward with Love Like You.
I want a love like you. Make me feel brand new. Want a love so true. I want a love like you. Want to be set free. Like I always dream. Like a song in the breeze, I wanna be set free. In this world of love and war, there's only so much a heart like mine can take. When this world is one and more, you're the only place that I can catch a break. I want a love like you. When you say my name, everything's okay. You take the pain away. When you say my name, written on my heart is a permanent mark. Is my light in the dark written on my heart. In this world of love.
summertime like mine can take.
Wow, 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 folk. We have been on a journey with our good friend Scaffy from the morning show that he hosts Monday to Friday, 6 till 9 a.m. And we've been blessed and want to thank you so much, Scaffy. This was Madison Ryan Ward, who you were listening to, Love Like You, Purified Love. So I hope you enjoyed that song. And we are now in the final run, mate. We've only got a few minutes left, 4 minutes to be exact, before we wrap up. You were telling me, Scaffy, that you've come to the conclusion that I have, after I've just heard this for the very first time, I've been exposed to this, like I'm sure pretty much 99% of our listeners have been exposed to this for the first time, because this is not mainline news. This is not out there in the public domain, what we have heard from you today.
No, it's in the public domain. It's just not not emphasized by the regular media.
Yeah, that's
media,
what I mean.
They're not interested in that kind of thing.
Absolutely. But like you said, it's the New York Times.
I'm not inventing anything.
No. I mean the technological Republic. It's the New York Times number one bestseller at the moment. And so it's out there and people are buying it and they're giving it the thumbs up. So they're fully supportive of these 22 points that you have run through very, very quickly. And people can go and do their own research and they can check that out. But the bottom line is what you told me, and which I've come to the conclusion, not just through this, but everything else that is going on, that we are so, so close to the end.
That's right. When I read this, I was thinking in my heart, Father, we're going home. Mm. Very soon, because we're seeing all the tools that are going to be used in that future of Revelation 13 in terms of, because, for example, how can Gotham, for example, find out if you are a Sabbath keeper or not? They can just look, for example, through your bank accounts very quickly, and they say, oh, why don't you ever spend money on the Sabbath?
Mm. Well, it's interesting.
And it's very easy to figure out who worships Jesus and who worships God according to the commandments and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Who has different opinions, because if your email addresses are all compromised.
Emails, text, social media,
everything. Your car, your locomotion.
Everything.
So this is how the beast in the end of times will know who isn't on their side and who isn't.
Yeah,
it's very easy. The tools, the instruments are there.
Yeah. So this one world order, this new world order that Revelation 17 speaks of, Revelation 13 talks about, that they proposed in the Tower of Babel. So this is straight after the flood. And I'll just read it to you here from Genesis 11, where they say, this is what they say. They say, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly in order to build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. So they want to go all the way to heaven. Yeah. They want to become like God or take God off his throne. Let us make a name for ourselves. So this is all about making a name.
And again, what is the brick and mortar at that time? New technology.
Yeah, it was.
We're going to use new technology to create our own kingdom where we don't really need the God of the Bible. We can create our own version of it.
And it's interesting. The Bible says, but the Lord came down. He saw the city and the tower, which the sons of men had built. And he said, indeed, the people are one and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do now. Nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And that's where the name Babylon comes from.
Yeah.
So this is where we are, folk. We're getting close to the coming of Jesus. And we just want to encourage you to spend time with the Lord, spend time in His Word.
Read the Bible.
Read the Bible. Get to know your Bible. Your Bible is going to be your only safeguard in the end.
And I would say read the Bible from even a physical Bible.
Absolutely.
Because if you're looking or studying the Bible through internet or even AI, well, the AI is programmed to give you certain answers in certain ways. It's not going to be unbiased. Let the Holy Spirit do that thing to you. So I would say let's go back to the analogical. That's the safest way to go. And that's a cautionary tale because Palantir, you remember these crystal balls? It has actually in the book, The Lord of the Rings, it has been used by the big evil boss to deceive those who are using it by selecting, picking and choosing what information would go into that.
Well, it's time to end, folks. So God bless you, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you, Scaffy, and God bless.
Don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up. Should the tears begin to start, with a prayer all your cares He will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.